I first did this lesson almost 40 years ago. And I didn't have a computer at the time, so I wrote those notes out on 5x8 cards. I think I told Cheryl that the last time I preached it was about 24 years ago now. And so my memory of the story I wanted to tell was kind of vague in my mind. But there have been a lot of stories since then that make up for it. Count your blessings. I had a really good friend almost 40 years ago who was helping her husband put up Christmas lights, things around the decorations around the house, and she fell off a ladder. Went to the doctor to see about her shoulder and found out that she had cancer. Cancer is not necessarily a death sentence. There is that chance that you might live. But all of the efforts to have that happen did not succeed, and she passed away a couple of years later. I tell that story because I've had a number of friends in the last 40 years pass away, a lot of preaching friends, a lot of close friends that were members of the church over those years, and you have to wonder, what has God done? Sometimes I wonder that very thing when I look at our society and our country in which we live, and I wonder what God's doing. I wonder what he's doing, because I know that God is at work. The writer of Ecclesiastes says in chapter 1 in verses 2 through 4, "Vanity of vanities," says the preacher, "vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What advantage does the man have in all his work which he does under the sun? A generation goes and a generation comes, but the earth remains forever." It seems like nothing ever changes. One person comes into the world, another leaves this world. What all things seem simply vain and worthless. And James says in the 4th chapter, in the 14th verse, that do you not know that your life is, or what your life will be like tomorrow? You're just a vapor that appears for a little while and vanishes away. I have a grandfather who lived to be 104. That was a long life for us. He saw hundreds and hundreds of changes in the world in which he lived. He went from plowing with horses and driving buggies to driving an automobile and planting with tractors and all kinds of things. Computers came into the world. A man supposedly went to the moon in my grandfather's lifetime. But it was just a drop in the bucket as far as eternity is concerned. Question is, have you ever counted your blessings? This is an old, old song. I remember it from my childhood. I'm sure it was being sung before that. But it certainly reminds us of something that we really need to think about, is the blessings that we have, that God has bestowed upon us. Did you ever just sit down for a few moments and write down some of the things that God has blessed your life with? Just really spend some time doing that, making a list. Spending an hour just really contemplating what God has blessed your life with. What if you or the ones you loved faced the news that my friend faced? Have you ever, what would you do? I was thinking about Kyle. What would you do? What would you feel? What would you think? Over 30 years ago, I had a child that 2 months old died. I still remember my wife's scream when she found her. The next child that we had was about not quite a year later. She wouldn't go to the crib to get the baby. I had to get up and go get her. She was terrified she'd find that same thing. And that's not unusual. That child was there and then gone in a moment. I have a sister that had a child that died from cancer, and that child was 8 years old. I think she died when she was 10. The struggles of the treatments and all of the things that they went through. And you have to ask yourself, what's God doing? What did God do? What has God done for us? Just what has He done? Well, I think Romans, the 8th chapter, really answers the question. In verse 28, Paul says, "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purposes." Whether it's good or bad, the things that happen in our life, God can bring about good from it. We just have to let Him. And that's where the rub comes in. Why didn't He save my child? Why didn't He save my friend? Why? We can wonder and wonder all of these things. But do we really count what God has blessed us with? We only had that child for 2 months, but that child was a blessing. Yes. And the friends that I've had, they've been a blessing in my life. Did I really appreciate that? Let's just consider some of the things that God has blessed us with. God has blessed us with health. The blessing of health. We're all able to be here this morning and this afternoon. We need to remember that the body is a temple. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 16, "Do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" And in chapter 6 and verse 19, he says, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own?" We have good health, and so we ought to do the best we can to take care of that health. God will give us good health, but we have to do our part in maintaining that good health, don't we? If we want to keep this blessing that God has given to us, then we need to be careful not to start bad habits like drinking alcohol and smoking. In fact, I think Cheryl just told me that there was a wreck last night where a couple of individuals died and they believe alcohol was involved. And countless times have we heard something like that taking place? Or smoking. How many people die from cancer that's caused by smoking? Or drugs? Or even overeating? We've got to take care of the body. In fact, I remember back in... I'd forgotten about this until I was looking at this material. So back in 1986, a young man was drafted by the Boston Celtics. That was quite a privilege to be drafted by the Boston Celtics. But 3 days later, he was dead of a heart attack. And if my memory serves me correctly, he had been partying with drugs. He never got the privilege of playing with Larry Bird or any of those great athletes. His life was already over. What about physical riches? We live in a country that has truly been blessed with riches. We are rich beyond anyone else in the world. No other country compares to the wealth that the majority of people have, and we have a plenty of people here who have plenty of money, plenty of physical wealth, in spite of them thinking they're so terribly poor. Most people here have plenty of that which they... In fact, how many of us came in an air-conditioned car today? In fact, I can't remember when I haven't had an air-conditioned car, hardly. except for when I was in a child and we had the four windows and 60 mile an hour to keep you cool. How many did not have food to eat today? You see, God's blessing us with so many riches. God blessed us with wealth so we could work, or He blessed us with the health that we just discussed, so that we could work and that we might have these things that facilitate our life in this world. If we work all the time, though, and forget God, what are we going to reap? Well, we're going to reap exactly what we sow, aren't we? Galatians 6 and verses 7 and 8 says, "Do not be deceived, God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, this will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." So if you're spending all of your time trying to gather in the wealth of the world, so that you will lack for nothing and you forget God, then don't be deceived. You are only burdening yourself eternally. And I think about the rich fool in Luke 12. The rich farmer, maybe I should have called him that because that's what he was. He was a farmer. He had abundance of crop. God had blessed his crops so greatly, he decided that he needed to tear down his barn and build bigger barns so that he could store all of that produce. And he had the idea that he was just going to be able to kick back and take it easy and enjoy life. But he forgot God. God says, "Thou fool, this night thy soul will be required of thee. And whose will these things be that you have provided?" Or the rich man and Lazarus in Luke 16 and verses 19 through 31. You remember that the rich man, he fared sumptuously every day, and he had the best food, the best clothes. But there was this poor beggar, Lazarus, that just desired to eat the crumbs from his table. Eventually, Lazarus is carried off to Abraham's bosom and the rich man dies and is buried. You remember how that the rich man lifts his eyes from torment and he sees Lazarus in Abraham's bosom and he says to Abraham, "Have Lazarus dip his finger in the water and cool the tip of my tongue." "No, we can't do that," Abraham says. We can't do that. "There's a gulf that's fixed between us, and we that would pass from here to you cannot, and those who are there would pass to us cannot do that." It won't work. One of the interesting things about this story is that the rich man, even though he's in torment, he hasn't lost any of his uppityness. He's still expecting Lazarus to do for him rather than he do for Lazarus, isn't he? And so he, because of this, he's concerned about his brothers that have not died yet. "Well, send Lazarus back to tell my brothers about this place." Abraham says, "No, we can't do that either. Even if one would rise from the dead, won't work. Because they have Moses and the prophets. They need to listen to them." Earthly wealth destroyed both of these individuals. And then I have to ask the question, well, why did Jesus come? Well, in John 10 and verse 10, it says, "The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. Jesus comes, I come, that they may have life and have it abundantly." And in Philippians 1 and verse 26, Paul says, "So that your proud confidence in me may abound in Christ Jesus through my coming to you again. That our confidence should be in Jesus Christ. Jesus came to give us life and to give it to us overboundingly. Our confidence, our rejoicing should abound in Christ and not in worldly wealth. You see, Jesus Christ is the correct focus. Well, what about families? Oh, man. All of us have families. We all come from somewhere, right? Yes. We have truly been blessed with families, haven't we? We should be truly thankful for godly parents, a godly wife, godly children, godly grandparents, godly great-grandparents. In fact, I remember some of my great-grandparents. Two of them were elders in the church. You see, I didn't choose them. They didn't choose me. They were given to me from God. I was blessed with them by God. How I truly have been blessed by God in this regard. A good wife is a great thing, is a blessing from God. The proverb writer says in Proverbs 18 and verse 22, He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Now, let me just preface that with the idea that not every woman makes a good wife, and just like not every man makes a good husband. But if you find a good wife, you have truly found a blessing from God. And if you've got a good husband, then you've got a good blessing from God as well. In fact, in 1 Peter 3 and verse 7, Peter says, "You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way as with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered." That we are fellow heirs together, equal before God in that regard. And aren't kids great? I can't imagine not having kids. In fact, I wanted a dozen. I only got half. And it's they've been a blessing to me. They've been crazy at times, but they've been a blessing to me most of the time. The psalmist says of children in Psalm 127 in verse 5, "How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies in the gate." Now, the only problem with that is the word quiver is a noun. And I've seen some situations where the parental quiver tended to be more of the verb variety. We need to make sure it stays the noun variety. In fact, children are really great when one of them, or more than one of them, hollers out, "Hey, Dad, that fat guy over there is smoking a yucky cigarette." Or one of them thinks he ought to moon everybody from the van window. Yes, I had a son who did that. They are certainly amazing, are they not? You know what I mean? They are a wonderful blessing. Make our lives so much better, so much more to appreciate in life. But at the same time, there's something we need to remember. In Matthew 10 and verse 37, Jesus says, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." We need to realize that we have to apply the proper amount of love to them and to the Lord. What about friends, the blessing of friends? Oh, like I said, I've had so many friends in my lifetime. And the sad thing is, so many of them already passed. That was one of the things I remember about my granddad, who was 104 when he passed away, my dad's father. He lived long enough to know that all of his friends had passed to the next world. Somebody has to. Somebody has to stick around for that, right? I guess he got the privilege of doing that. Friends. Friends are a blessing. Look at Ecclesiastes 4. I want to read with you verses 9 through 12. Ecclesiastes 4. 9 through 12. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. For if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion, but woe to the one who falls when there is not another to lift him up. Furthermore, if two lie down together, they keep warm. But how can one be warmed alone? And if one can overpower him who is alone, two can resist him. A cord of three strands is not quickly torn apart. Now, the Ecclesiastes writer is telling us how important friends are. Friends are a reflection of our own worthiness and a source of help for our inadequacies. What one lacks, another possesses. And we find strength in others for our weaknesses. Think about this, some examples of this idea. A friend is like bread for a hungry appetite. A friend is a balancing pole for walking the tightrope of life. A friend is a soothing salve for the cuts and the bruises of life. I miss those friends who provided those things for me. They certainly are a loss to me. But greater than all of these is the salvation that is in Jesus Christ. The greatest blessing of all. In John 3 and in verse 16, Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave." You don't have to read anything more than that to know that that is the greatest blessing of all. God so loved mankind that he gave. He gave his only begotten Son that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Because Paul says in Romans 6 and verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." It is the greatest blessing. There is no blessing like it. No blessing in this world can compare to this one. Think about it. He took the form of a man. Paul says in Philippians 2 and verses 5 through 8, "Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." Have this attitude. See what Paul says here is the blessing of salvation in Jesus Christ. Though he was God, he did not regard that as something to hold on to. That he was in the form of God, let me say. He did not regard that as something to hold on to, but he emptied himself and became made like a man. And not only did he go that far, but he humbled himself to becoming obedient to his Father to the point of dying by crucifixion. As I thought about this, I tried to compare this with the idea that it would be on the order of a man becoming a worm. And the more I thought about that, I thought, well, that's somewhat true, but the problem is man didn't create worms. God became his creation. I can't do that. I can't even understand that fully. Jesus gave his life so that we could be saved from sin. So that we could be saved from eternal destruction, eternal death. What a wonderful blessing God has extended to anyone who would accept it. Let me ask you, can you wait to count your blessings? I have to think, as I think about this idea of God blessing me and all of the bad things that may have happened, what good can come from my friend's death or that young man who was drafted by the Boston Celtics back in 86? Well, it caused me to do something. It caused me to do some things that I had put off, things that really needed to be done. I sit down and wrote a brother about his life and the wrong direction it was headed in. It caused me to see that God can work the good and the bad of this life for my best. And I have to simply remember that my life is a vapor. I have it right now, but tomorrow it could be gone. Have I really appreciated all of the good blessings God has provided me with in this world? Even the bad things that have happened have helped me in some way to be the kind of person God would be pleased with. Made me put in that effort. The thing is because my life is like a vapor, I don't want to put it off. I don't want to wait. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5 and verses 20 through 6:2, 2 Corinthians 5:20 through 6:2, "Therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And working together with him, we also urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, 'At the acceptable time I listened to you, and on the day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation.'" I would have to agree with what Paul says here. We are ambassadors for Christ, as though God is making an appeal through us to beg you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God, because he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, for us. And so we urge you, don't receive the grace of God in vain, but accept it. Obey the gospel. Make your life right with God, because the day is coming when there will be no more opportunity. Have you counted your blessings? If not, it would be a great idea for you to sit down and consider how God has truly blessed your life, no matter what has happened in it. The good and the bad are in some way used by God to bless you. If you need to correct your life in any way this evening, if you need to be baptized into Christ, we would encourage you to do that tonight. If you need to simply correct your life with God, do it. Don't put it off. You may not have another opportunity. My good friend, Dwayne, got up, was planning to go to the airport to pick somebody up. He had a heart attack at the breakfast table. You just don't know. Won't you come as we stand and sing?